Representative Paul Tonko is a Democrat from New York's 20th District. Frankly, he's the hardest working human being I have ever, ever met. You know, every time I turn around, there he is. Hey, do you decide that nobody is less important than anybody else and therefore you go everywhere?
Well, you know, Alan, I appreciate the compliment, and it's always good coming from Dr. Chartok. But, you know, I came into this business in the mid to late 70s, mid-70s, and, you know, there's a lot of dissatisfaction with government. You know, there were impeachment proceedings with President Nixon, who in some ways did wonderful work, and then in other ways just set himself up for deep, deep criticism. There was the Vietnam War. There were all sorts of forces that were... you know, providing for unrest and distrust for government. And my contemporary friends like kind of questioned my getting involved. But I said, you know, we either can sit on the sidelines and add to the tarnish, or we can get into the arena and, you know, add to the shine and make things happen. And so that drove my desire to bring government to the doorstep and just include people in as full a fashion as possible. And quite honestly, it's been satisfying. It's been very soulful for me to be able to establish that in any district that I've represented, from county to state to now federal level in Congress. So, it does feed your soul.
So now you get a vacation, and everybody wants to go on vacation. People go abroad, they go on cruise ships, but you work, don't you?
I do. You know, we'll have 2 weeks, and we've packed it full with activity, with roundtables, constituent meetings, perhaps a town hall if we can get that finalized, and all sorts of outreach. Because right now, I see this as being one of the most critical junctures in politics and government for this nation since I've been involved. And it's frightening to me that huge draconian cuts can be presented out there in a way that has very warped logic. The other day I heard Budget Director Mulvaney talked of the cut to Meals on Wheels for our nation's seniors. And the response was, well, there's no quantifiable evidence that that program has worked well. Well, I would suggest nutrition is one of the factors in soundness of healthcare that needs to be a very understood and supported element, component of quality healthcare. And if that's not enough of a rationale, I think one of the most chronic illnesses out there is loneliness for the senior community. And the socialization that comes with Meals on Wheels, or even with the congregate delivered sites, that's a partnership that I think is very meaningful. Especially as a society, we continue to age. The elderly, the older old, the very elderly in our society are a growing statistic. And somehow we have to respond accordingly. And, you know, at the other end of the age spectrum are after-school programs for children. Now, either invest early in life and give that child every chance to discover her or his potential. And we're all given gifts. And I think education enables us to, you know, do that self-discovery. And if we have trouble with coursework, after-school opportunities are the way to do it. For the critics of those programs, I don't want to see you pointing a finger of blame at someone 10, 20 years later who is, you know, a problem to himself and society when you weren't there to have the appropriate investment. Some of these kids come from very difficult situations, and it's a societal response, I believe, that's required for quality education, regardless of what zip code you call home.
Indeed. So let me ask you something. Congressmen are important. They are.
Well,
I mean, I know. No, they're important. They are the, you know, you say, okay, I want to, when I say to people, I talk to Paul Tonko on a fairly regular basis, they bow their heads. So my question to you is, do you have to use that influence carefully? So, for example, I know that people always want you to endorse them for lower political offices. I see you just endorsed Mayor Kathy Sheehan
in
Albany.
And she has,
well, I'm going to give you a chance here. And she's going to be opposed by a lot of people who are opposing her. Does that make your knees quake and say, I better guess right here? Or do you just say, I have to do what's right?
The latter. I think you have to do what's right. Look, there will be opponents to the mayor who are friends, who I've known for a long time. And this isn't about a popularity contest. You know, when you ask to run for this job, and when you do get it, if the people place their trust in you, you need to assume that this is going to be a hard task. It's not easy, you know, but, you know, I think the interaction when you see people doing the right thing, when they're good stewards of the people's money, the taxpayers' money, you want to honor that and respect it and step up to the plate and say, hey, I've seen this firsthand. It works. It needs maybe more time to work itself through to totally evolve to the success that you want. And I think it's important. I think in terms of the other interaction of which you speak, the networking with constituents and with the general populace, to me, there's no stronger bit of advocacy that I can do than to have my voice filled by stories that people share with you. And that anecdotal evidence on healthcare, for example, we held a press conference and we brought about 8 people together who told their stories about what the Affordable Care Act, what Obamacare meant to them. And, you know, that's a powerful statement. I couldn't have any better words than the people's stories. And one of the people, by the way, who offered her testimony as a cancer patient recently passed. And it tells me she put her struggle, and this conference was just weeks ago, she put her pain, her struggle, her strife, her fear, her whatever, her challenges aside so that the bigger picture, the common good could be addressed. To me, you know, those local constituents, our local constituents, are not only interactive, they're champions because they're out there truly making a difference.
Let me ask you something in this segment. Mr. Gorsuch, Judge Gorsuch, is now on the Supreme Court of the United States. It gives me a sort of pit in the bottom of my stomach that for the next 40 years, that court may well have more conservatives on than people who are either moderate or slightly independent. What do you think?
Well, you know, it was the process that really amazed me. You know, at a time where you're dealing with Supreme Court confirmations, to go and change the 60-vote rule because you needed to address an easier route for what might be extreme candidates tells me the fear, I guess, that sits within me is that that rests within me is that we could use this now as a way to address any other extreme candidates when they are presented for as nominees. And as we all know, the highest court in the land has at times appeared very political. I saw it with the with the situation with campaign financing. I saw it with the Citizens United case. We see it with a number of elements that are really the fundamental decisions made as they affect our democracy and the access to the voting booth, to the ballot box. We need to make certain that there's this moderate approach, you know, that is reasonable, realistic, and not extreme. And, you know, so many of those decisions of late have been 5-4 and or of late 4-4. And, you know, I don't think the founding parents of this great republic ever wanted it to turn into a political court where, you know, that's the predominant means by which to arrive at a final decision. So, you know, there's a concern here, and I hope as we go forward that it will not fall into the worst situation, because you're right, these are decades worth of impact to all of us. And for the youngest in our population, this will be a lifetime worth of good or bad outcome. It will be that long-term in its duration. For others of us, you know, maybe we won't see all of the extreme situations come before that court. And you know, what they do is so far-reaching from immigration reform to refugee bans to fairness in access to the voting booth, the distribution of education monies. All of these issues coming to the highest court in the land really determine our futures in a very direct and personal way.
I always learn something from Representative Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 20th District, in office since 2009. This time I learned to say, and I don't know why I've never thought of it, founding parents instead of founding fathers. Thank you for that, Paul.
Oh, you're welcome, Dr. C.